we're on week 11. Gosh, isn't the year going by really quickly? And we've learned a lot, hopefully, over the last few weeks. Well, for some of you, it will be new stuff. Some of you, it will be things that you already knew, but it's good to have a reminder. And one of the best ways of learning things is explaining them to someone else. You really know that you've understood something when you can explain it to someone else. And so we're talking today about sharing our faith, the mission of the church, making disciples. And obviously Josh is going to join me in the chat. So is Howard. So welcome, Howard. Howard said this morning this is the first time he's been on telly. So I think Howard might be a little bit nervous. Are you nervous, Howard, or you're okay?
I'll tell you at the end.
I think that's a yes. So, but we're going to be nice to Howard. He doesn't realise how many millions of people are actually watching him right now. But, yeah.
So.
But, yeah, we're going to think about the mission of the church. And we've got the globe here, which I hope I don't break by picking up. Yeah, I have to say, if any of you see my Facebook, you'll know that at the moment I have a very large jigsaw puzzle on my dining room table. I say very large, it takes up 3/4 of the table. It's 4,000 pieces and it's a map of the world. And I don't know why I started it, but I really wish God hadn't created quite so much sea, because it's all pretty much the same colour and that's the bit I'm left with now. So I'm nearly there, but 4,000 pieces is a lot and I wouldn't recommend it. But anyway, Matthew 28 verse 16 to 20, very famous verses. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." You know, I picked the song for communion that we've just had, There is a Redeemer. It's an old song, and some of you, it's so old you would be new. But just that line that says, "Leaving your spirit till the work on earth is done." You know, and God hasn't left us alone in this mission. God has provided his Holy Spirit that we've already learnt about to help us in and give us the power for this mission. And that's something that's really reassuring, I think. So Jesus has spent three years with his disciples. He's done life with them. He's taught them. He's guided their conversations, sometimes rebuked them. And then he's died and rose from the dead. And the final conversation they have before he ascends into heaven, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them and teach them everything that I've taught you. You disciples, go and make more disciples. Go and make more disciples. And those disciples make disciples. And those disciples make disciples." And here we are in 2021, disciples of Jesus. This is the mission of the church. And we sent out a few questions in the week. Thank you to those of you who've responded. And I asked people, you know, to share what you think the mission is of the church in your own words. And people said things like sharing the gospel, the good news, being God's hands, feet and mouthpiece, reaching lost people, loving and encouraging one another. And I just wonder, Josh and Howard, how would you describe the mission of the church if you'd got to just describe it to someone? I don't know who wants to go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I mean, I thought what people have put is brilliant. Jesus clearly puts in that scripture in Matthew 28 that we are to go out and make disciples. And I think there is this element where we do need to be intentional. I'm struggling to get my words out today, Rach. Intentional about making disciples. And part of that is inviting them into our lives. But part of that is looking for opportunities to share. So as a church, I think we should all be probably similar minded and a similar focus together, that we do want to share Jesus with other people. How that looks can vary. Howard is brilliant at going out into the street and chatting to people for the first time. He's way more confident than I am.
Am I?
I think so. I think he's pretty good. I think you're pretty good. For some of us, it might also be people that have made commitments and building them up as well in their faith.
Yeah. So. Have you got anything to add, Howard? Or?
Yeah, I think my wife and I were both converted about 30 years ago. And I think one of the central verses or central things that Jesus told us was that he'll make us fishers of men.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what... When he spoke to Peter at the lake, at the edge of the Lake of Galilee, that guy was a fisherman, wasn't he? And so, I mean, that spoke to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think mission is all about fishing for people.
Yeah, I think it's good, isn't it, the way you bring that story in about that Jesus used something to illustrate that they already understood. Yeah. You know, so they were fishermen. He said, oh, now you're going to go and fish for men. You know, he might say to someone else who's an artist or a doctor, you know, he might describe it in a different way, and we're all different, but we'll come on to that in a little while. So do you think there can be sometimes a tension in the church between making disciples is a very, very long process. You can start with someone who's not a Christian at all and they become a disciple, but making disciples is a continuous thing. We're all still becoming, we're all still on this journey, we're all still learning. And so it's easy to see it in two parts. The let's make disciples, people coming who are new, and then there's the discipling of people who are already here. Do you think there can be a tension sometimes between the time we spend looking after the people that are already here and the people out there? Do you think that can be a tension in the mission of the church?
I think there's a big tension in the church because of resources. And sometimes we think logically, okay, right now we're going to go out and reach out to people. And then right now we're going to help grow people that are new Christians and in, and then maybe some more experienced people and give them leadership roles. But I think we need to take it as a bit more fluid, that there's a bit more of a journey that we're going on. It's a bit like a parent. A parent doesn't stop being a parent when the child is born. There's a point where after the child is born, they've still got to look after them and nurture them. So it's a funny one. Some people think the start of someone's journey to Christ is when they first say, yes, I follow Jesus. But I have a feeling that God is already working on them in the background before they make that commitment to following Jesus. So I feel like there's some... We need to kind of think that this is a fluid journey for individuals, and we can't put everybody into a framework. Mm-hmm. There's a journey. So yeah. That's my sort of thoughts.
Yeah, I remember hearing someone say once that when you have a church, you have people in that church who are all kind of representing their particular, you know, so the women will be going, oh, we need stuff for the women, and the men, we need stuff for the men, and, you know, people who need help will be, oh, I need help, and we need to do kids' work, and we need to, but actually there are no non-Christians in the church going, what about us? You know, they're not there. They're not represented if we're not careful. And so very easily we can forget that part of the mission because we can get quite inward looking. So we have to be careful about that tension. And I asked people, how did they feel about the mission? And the first thing I said, that do you think that the mission is the leader and pastor's job? And no, and everyone said no. But it was a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek question. And I think it would have been very brave for someone to say, yes, it's the pastor and leader's job. But well done for you for no one saying that. 21% of you said, I know I've got a part to play in this, but actually it's difficult. So thank you for your honesty. That's a 1 in 5 people, that's a lot, are saying, actually I find this quite hard. 37% said, I love being involved in reaching out, which is brilliant. And it's great that over a third of you said that. And I hope that for the 21% to say, finding this difficult, that there will be something in the talk that I did last week and what we talk about now that might just help you just to think, well, I'm going to just get the gospel message, the 4 points of the gospel message, and I'm going to just learn that so that I know that I'm kind of ready if anyone asks me. And I'm going to look for opportunities. Do you remember I mentioned in the talk the website and the book Story Bearers? And if, again, you find it difficult, why not get a copy of that book? I don't have shares in it, honest. And just have a read, and that hopefully will inspire you as well. And the other 42% gave other thoughts about what they think about the mission, but it kind of boiled down to, what is my part to play in all of this? See, somebody said, well, actually, I've got some personal issues and they prevent me from doing very much. Someone else said they just don't really know where they fit into this picture. And somebody actually said, knocking on doors is not for me, which obviously wasn't Howard, but some people said that. So, Josh, what would you say to someone who was unsure about their personal part that they play in this?
So I think the first thing I'll take is that we are all on this discipleship journey. Some of us are at the beginning of faith. Some of us may not have even made a commitment to Jesus yet. Some of us have been on this journey for a long time. It can be hard to get to a point where you're confident enough to share your faith. And I want to suggest that there's probably a few ways that we can do that. Knocking on the doors isn't the only way. I would say also knocking on the doors isn't for me. Me going around knocking on someone's doors would scare the life out of me. Howard does it probably. He's just smooth. I mean, Howard is smooth, I think.
You don't know me.
See in a minute.
But this will be my challenge, that you just give it a try. And if you're not confident, partner with somebody who is more confident. It could be that you serve in a ministry. I know I bang on about the youth and children's ministry because I love doing that. But that is a great opportunity in a group setting where you can just start to have conversations with people. It's a great opportunity where you can just get to know people and introduce a little bit of Jesus in a comfortable setting. So I want to suggest that we don't have to all go out there and be the next J. John, amazing evangelist necessarily, but just go out and try it. And if you make a mistake, what's the worst thing that can happen? This is one advice that I give to somebody all the time. Just give it a try. Give it a shot. I think it's very unlikely you're going to scare people off so much that you're going to scare them completely away from Jesus. And God is in control of that. You'd have to say something pretty offensive to do that. So I'll just say, just give it a shot. Just share your faith. And if you're not confident, ask somebody to help you along in that journey.
Yeah, and I think as well, a lot of it happens in relationship. And one of the points I tried to make in the video is, let's make sure we have connections with people who don't know Jesus, because those are ideal opportunities then to share faith. You know, I don't remember someone said, if you're a bit scared about sharing your faith with a stranger, do it on an aeroplane, because you'll never, or a bus or something, because you'll never see that person ever again. But we can't go on aeroplanes at the moment, so there you go.
Just remembered one thing, Rachel.
Yeah.
Somebody said to me once, always be ready to tell your story, why you decided to be a follower of Jesus, because people can relate to that story. They can't argue with the story, and everybody loves a good story. So keep it short, keep it to a minute, keep it to a minute and a half, and just be ready to share your story.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Howard, would you tell us about what you do locally in your missional outreach?
Yeah, I think when I say we, because it's Janet and me, when we were converted 30 years ago, we both always have felt, you know, we're fishermen. Well, I'm a fisherman, she's a fisherwoman. But to go fishing is the big deal, you know, and so we've done that quite a lot over the last 25, 30 years. But just recently, a couple of years ago, we went to an evangelism conference, and there was a guy called Roy Crown there, and he spoke really well, really well. And he talked about door-to-door stuff, and I hadn't done door-to-door stuff, really. But he said, if you go door-to-door, take something with you. Don't ever go and knock a door and stand there like a lemon, because, you know, I mean, that's not funny, is it? You won't want to do that. So just recently, I started going to this new estate. Some bloke in the church said, I think we should get into the new estates, you know. So I thought, that's a good idea. So I started doing that, and what I took along with me was packet of biscuits. You probably can't see them. The packet of biscuits. Give everyone a packet of biscuits, you see, because if you knock on the door and you have a present and there's a message on it that says, "Hello there. We hope you're settling into your new home from all of us at the Oasis Christian Centre near the bus station." And on there, you've got the website. So, but, you know, if you knock a door and say, "Hello, have a packet of biscuits." Now, 80% of people say, "Okay, thanks a lot."
I would, and, to be fair.
Yeah. And some people say, "Don't like biscuits." But after they've accepted the biscuit, you say, "Look, we're living in some tricky times at the moment. So how do you fancy having a good news newspaper?" You see, so... and once they've accepted the biscuits, then they'll take the paper. And on there is the church website, because, I mean, the church being online at the moment is fantastic. This live streaming, I mean, you can get into all sorts of homes, can't you? So, yeah, once I've done that, I take off. Well, see you later. But actually, the aim is always to sort of go back a couple of months later, you know. But don't do too much of it, you know. I'll go out once a month, twice a month, for an hour. It's not a killer. You know, and but it's all part of the whole process of fishing.
Yeah.
It's first contact. "Hello, never seen you before. I'm from the church." There we are.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. You make it sound easy, Howard.
It's you've got to be prepared to be rejected. You know, some people say, "No callers." So you say, "Okay, have a nice day. Bye."
Yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? We're quite often very concerned what people think of us. And I think that's a big thing, isn't it, in evangelism? And I think particularly when they're people that we know, like I say, you could leave that house and like, "Well, I'm never going to knock that door again," you know. But if it's people you know, sometimes it can be a bit more daunting, because you think, "What are they going to think of me? Are they still going to love me after this?" You know,
never go to people you know. Very bad. You've got to live with them, haven't you? You've got to live close to them, neighbour. To another estate.
Yeah, you see, that's the difference actually between people. Some people find it easier to talk to someone they've never met, share their faith. Others find it easier to talk to someone that they're in relationship with. But actually, I would be more, you know, I'd find it easier to talk to someone I'm in relationship with than someone I've never met, which is odd, really. But we're all different, and that's the point, I think, that we're trying to get across, is we are all different. And there's many ways of getting involved in the mission. But I think it is important to stretch ourselves. One or two people put in the survey that they felt like they were a bit lazy. You know, it's almost like, "Oh, we sort of forget about sharing faith and, you know, not being very proactive." And sometimes it's good to remind ourselves that this is important. God has made us fishers of men, as Howard has said. You know, Richard Carter sent a video in this week, which I watched, which was absolutely excellent. And you can look it up on YouTube if you want to watch the video. It was between Nikki and Pippa Gumbel, who are the leaders of Holy Trinity Brompton, where we get the Alpha course from, and they were interviewing Jackie Pullinger, who is the lady who, as a young girl, I think she was about 22, went to Hong Kong on her own and worked in the walled city with the drug triads and gangs and all sorts of people, and has spent most of her life seeing addicts released from addiction. And it was a brilliant interview, and you can look at someone like Jackie and think, "Wow, she's so brave." But she said this in the interview, it's really interesting. She said, "Looking back on it, it seems terribly brave and adventurous, but it wasn't, because whatever God's got for you is right for you." And so she's saying, actually, people look at her and they go, "Wow, how on earth could you, a 22-year-old young woman, go all on your own to Hong Kong into this walled city? I mean, it looked horrendous. And do that and reach out to these people who could have, like, killed you any minute." But she said, because it was right for her and God had told her to do that, it didn't even seem difficult. It was just an adventure. And I was like, "Oh, wow." You know, and if God has made you like that, then you need to find out how to fulfill what God's called you to do. But he hasn't made us all like that. You know, it isn't all of our jobs to all go and go to Hong Kong, or we saw in the video Terry and Judy in Kenya, you know. But actually, I'm more well placed to meet with my next door neighbour. you know, and God will want someone to be meeting your neighbour or the people that you stand at the school gate with when we're allowed to do that. Or whatever people you meet, your work colleagues, you're the ones that are in the position to be able to reach those people by building up that relationship over time. So I asked, do people have people in their lives who don't know Jesus? And almost 100% said yes, which was brilliant, because it can be so difficult. The longer you've been a Christian, and I think it's particularly hard for me and possibly Josh as well, working in church and having been in church forever, amen. It's hard to, isn't it, make relationships with people who don't know Jesus. I find that I have to be quite intentional about that. Do you find that, Josh?
Yeah, I find it difficult because a lot of your time gets invested in your ministry here in the church. The one thing over lockdown that has kind of struck me is the fact that it is hard to see people's face and share Jesus with people, but it's highlighted to me the bigger need for intentionality. So if you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, to go out your way just that extra mile, like Howard does, to bring some people some shortbread or something, I found just in my diary, I put a book an hour out in my week where I just contact people and just say, hi, how are you doing? How's your week going? And if you're finding you don't know people, then I would say serve in church in a ministry that reaches out to people. And if not, find something social you can do to mix with somebody, whether it's a football group or something like that, just to meet with people and engage in those relationships. So.
Yeah, I remember being challenged on this quite a long time ago now at a conference in Chicago that I went to, and I came back and realised actually there's nobody in my life who doesn't, you know, is not a Christian really. And so I prayed and asked God to bring someone into my life, a friend, and he answered that prayer within a couple of weeks of me returning home. So, you know, if you want a prayer answered, you know, pray that God will help you to reach out or to share with someone or to make a contact with somebody, and he'll be right on the case, you know, I think. So, yeah.
And that's one thing Jackie Pullinger said as well. She just prayed for the right person to come across.
Yeah.
So I think prayer is really instrumental in that, you know, taking time to say, God, who is it that you want me to focus my time and my energy on?
Yeah. Have you got anything to add, Howard?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, your neighbours are your neighbours, and I wouldn't go around their doors. But what is good, you can open your house, perhaps New Year's Day or something, and invite people in, you know, that's good. We were at a church a few years ago, and there was a guy there. He'd been living in this street for X years, you know, and it was screwing him up a bit because he had to reach people for Jesus, you know. And so they decided to just invite the neighbours in.
Yeah.
And it's had a really, you know, very encouraging effect.
Yeah. And I think picking up after lockdown, I mean, I've got to know my neighbours a bit better in the last 12 months because everyone's been stuck in the street all the time. And coming out of lockdown, obviously, you know, we can't invite neighbours in at the moment, but they can come in the garden a week on Monday. You know, but as we come out of this, it's time, actually, we could think about how could I do this a bit differently, coming out of lockdown, out of these rules. How can I maintain some of those relationships that maybe I've started during this period of time? So, yeah. Okay. Some of the challenges and questions people had, someone said it's been difficult during lockdown, and I think it does give us obviously extra challenges, but because maybe you no longer sit in the office with your work colleagues, you might be stuck at home alone. And we have to think creatively, I think, sometimes about how we can reach out, and as we've just said about neighbours and other people that we meet, maybe you take the kids to school and that kind of thing. And yeah, as things open up, you know, you can join groups or maybe an art club or something like that as a way of getting to know other people. We've kind of touched that. Have you got any more suggestions? Or
I was just going to say, it's interesting when you have COVID and it's been hard for people. People have something in common now to talk about.
Yeah.
And I think people are asking quick because people have died and it's been tough. People have questions about life. So I think actually we're coming to a season where people are going to be more open to those deeper conversations coming out of this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, just going around the doors, you know, this good news paper is an ideal title.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of bad news, you know, and also there's, you knock 10 doors, two people will show an interest.
Yeah.
You know that 2 out of 10, they have got something in them that will sort of bring them to the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just knocking on a door. Some people, they haven't had anyone knock on their door.
Yeah, that's true.
And when's the last time they had someone knock on their door to give them something free?
Yeah.
I mean, like a packet of biscuits. I mean, there's no sort of strings attached to that, is there? So yeah. It's, yeah.
I mean, are you happy for people to come with you when we obviously can do that?
To be quite honest, I think it's a one-man operation because okay. You get two people in the door, it's whoo-hoo, those. But there's one person on the door. That's, you know, so that's my personal view.
Yeah. But you would certainly be able to encourage people and give them some.
Oh, yeah, I think, you know, you haven't got to be the only person going out there. You know, you do run the street. I go out with a bag of 15 boxes of biscuits, right, and 15 good newspapers, and I only do 15 doors. But it takes an hour because, you know, you knock 10 doors, 3 are out. You always have to, usually have to ring the bell twice. If you ring the bell once and there's no answer, you walk off. That's bad news. You ring the bell twice, then they answer. So it all takes a bit of time, but it's not a killer, you know. It's not... Yeah. And the other thing is, it really encourages you.
Yeah.
Really encourages your faith, you know, because some of us live in a bubble, don't we? You know, we got our family, we've blasted our family with all, you know, they don't want to know anymore, and we might be in an office, you know, and they know all about it. So, you know, these cold contact people, you're going to hit someone who is interested, so it's very encouraging.
I think as well, I like the way some people said actually reaching out is quite scary, and I think that's absolutely, absolutely true, but. Just listening to that, it sounds less scary, I have to say. And the thing is, you know, Howard isn't going out, or you might not go out. It's not about preaching a 3-point sermon and having an altar call, you know. It's just literally saying, would you like some good news? Or, you know, it doesn't have to be such an arduous thing. And I do think at the moment, Josh, you're right, that people are more open to those deeper conversations. But you could be waiting for a bus, and, you know, how often do you just sort of stand there and everyone's got their phones, you know? And you might actually say hi to the person standing next to you and start a conversation like that, maybe. I wouldn't be, like, standing at bus stop and handing them biscuits, maybe, but who knows? Yeah. Someone said, but how do we make people believe? And this is the easy bit, actually, because it's not our job to make people believe the gospel. It's our job to present the gospel to people. It's their choice whether they accept it or not. And so, you know, we're off the hook in that sense. You know, we're not obliged to twist someone's arm, because if someone says, oh, okay, I'll accept it because you've got their arm up their back, it's not actually genuine anyway. And salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit, and I think we've touched on this. We sometimes, you know, some people can be completely away from God, complete atheists, don't believe God at all. Some people are almost like, you think, well, they seem like they're almost a Christian. And there's almost a range in between. And we don't have to pick the hardest people. You know, we can actually say, God, Holy Spirit, where are you working? You know, where are you? I mean, I think when Howard goes back and does some follow-up sometimes, he doesn't go back to the house where they went, no, go away. You know, but he'll go back to the house where they accepted the paper and might want to have that conversation, because maybe that's where the Holy Spirit is working. And those are the people that the Holy Spirit is working with. So that's important. So you don't have to make someone a disciple in that sense. You don't have to make them believe. You can't do that. So someone said, what if I live in a non-Christian family? And, you know, I think this is really challenging. I think, Howard, you've already said, you know, you've blasted your family to death, or however you put it. And I think if we have non-Christians in our family, it's difficult. you know, it can be really difficult. And people we constantly live with, if you're trying to shoehorn Jesus into every single conversation, they'll be wise to that, and that's just going to cause trouble, and that's just going to put them off. And sometimes you've got to be really wise. Sometimes it's better to almost avoid talking about Jesus in that context, because people know, you know, if you've become a Christian newly, and people will know. And I heard a phrase many years ago. It was on a tape set. That shows how long ago it was. I bet, Josh, you don't know what a tape is, do you?
I've seen tapes.
You've seen tapes.
Oh, it was when I was little.
Yeah.
Very little.
Yeah.
Tape measures, you use them for measuring things.
No. Not that sort of tapes. Tapes you have to wind up with a pencil if it goes. Anyway, we digress.
Same as a VHS tape.
No, little cassette thing. Anyway,
yeah, for music.
Anyway, yeah. I was listening to this cassette tape series, and I still remember now exactly where I was in the car driving along. And this woman was talking about actually a time when her children were away from God and they'd left their faith. And the phrase she used, I've never forgotten, was love them to life. She didn't say talk them to life or coerce them to life. She said, love them to life. And that's really always stuck with me. And words are so important when we share our faith. And in a family situation, you know, show them your faith in love, in care, in serving, in integrity. And really speak only when you know that they really want to listen. And I think for me, that would be my advice for if you have non-Christians in your family, that it's more like that, really. I don't know if... Have you got any non-Christians in your family, Josh?
I think by the grace of God, the majority of people are all Christians.
Yeah.
It's more my kind of further cousins and out there. But that's been because of generations of people coming to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think this is a little bit down to discipleship, isn't it? When we pass things on and we teach our family.
When we sent the Christmas cards out, I put the church, you know, oasisredditch.online.church in the card with a note, because I always write a note to people that I write cards to. And one of my, I got a lot of cousins, and one of my cousins' widows, because most of my cousins are dead now, she said, I'm going to have a look at the website. And she might do, because she had some strange, you know, I've seen her in the past, she has some strange ideas, so, you know.
Yeah.
I might look at it, she said.
Okay. That's the thing as well. Even just sharing, if you have social media, sharing church things on your social media, sharing this, maybe not this week, but other weeks, is other ways of just putting it out there, really. I think we're getting time, aren't we? Like the clock's gone to zero and we're not there yet. So I'm going to quickly rattle through. Someone says, what if I get asked a difficult question? So, Howard, what if someone asks you a difficult question? What do you say?
Don't know. I don't know the answer. I ask them what the square root of 30 is. They don't know that.
And I think it's okay to say, I don't have the answer, but maybe together we'll try and find somebody that does. And to signpost, I think that is a really good thing to do.
Yeah.
If you have the answer to everything, people are going to think either you're perfect or you're fake because you're trying to be perfect. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's okay to say I don't know. And also to explain that, you know, part of faith is mystery. If we knew the answer to everything, we wouldn't need faith. So, yeah. How do you follow up a gentle discussion about Jesus and take things further? And I'll just quickly, as I say, we're running out of time. So I think that depends on the situation you're in. If you're in a conversation with Jesus about a friend or a colleague and they seem interested, I would say keep things natural. You know, your next conversation doesn't have to be about Jesus, but listen carefully for any clues that they might want to talk more. And there's also a lot of resources. You know, you can point people towards Alpha Online. Alpha, apparently, they're saying has been working better online than it did in person over the last 12 months. And you can look at all of that on YouTube now. You don't need any special links. You just Google it on YouTube and there it is. And you might send them, they might have asked you a particular question. You might find the Alpha video that would answer that question. You could just drop them a text saying, hey, we were talking about this the other day and you might be interested in this, and then just leave it. You know, if it gets into further conversation, you might get to a point where you think, actually, I could invite this person to church at some point. You know, you might say, hey, Christmas is coming or Easter's coming, you know, why don't you come with me to church? But just be gentle. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that is doing the work and not you, and we're just trying to work with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, it's not, if you go out there, it's not your job necessarily to sort of convert people, but invite them to the church and they can hear a gospel message there, you know.
Yeah.
I think that word invite is the word that is my favourite word at the moment. Just invite people to something. Mm. It's an invitation is great because people can say no thanks, or they can say yes, please. So it's not forceful. And an invitation just to do something, even could be to have food round at your house or to come to church or anything at all. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, and I think as well, you know, when we're doing life with people, we're doing it because we love them and we care about them. You know, and because we love and care about them, we want to see them come to know Jesus. But that's not the, you know, that's not the reason we have a relationship with them. And if they start to feel like, actually, this person's only my friend because they're trying to convert me, that's not good. You know, so we need to have the relationship for the relationship's sake, first and foremost, really. The final sort of question, someone said, how long should we keep trying to share with someone who does not respond? And in the video, Terry and Judy said they gave their lives to God, who they hadn't even believed in 24 hours earlier. And I've actually emailed them to say, can you share that story with me? Because I'd really be interested to know. If you're watching, I haven't had that email yet, Terry and Judy. But anyway, I'll wait. You know, they travelled from unbelief to faith really, really quickly in a very short period. Most people don't. Most people make small steps towards faith over a long period of time. And you might have shared the gospel with someone that haven't responded. You know, leave it. Wait. See if you get another opportunity. But don't just wait. Pray. You know, share again if you get a chance. But remember, you could be in this for the long game, and that's okay. You know, people have their whole lives to find Jesus. And sometimes, you know, we shouldn't push it. It's the wise thing to actually step back and leave the Holy Spirit to do his work. And Jackie, in the Jackie Pullinger interview, she makes the point about seeing where God is working and joining in. And that is the easiest way to reach out. That's the easiest way for us to do the mission of the church. See where God is working and join in with the bits that he wants you to do. And pray and be ready for that conversation. And also, you know, as we said briefly, this has mainly been about reaching out, but making disciples is a lifelong process. And if you've been a Christian for longer than 5 minutes, you will have learned something that God will want you to pass on and share with someone else. And that might be someone else who's already a Christian, but to help them grow in their faith. So again, I'd encourage you, if you've been a Christian a long time and you're not passing on what you've learned to somebody else, then please think about doing that. So anything to add, just finally?
When you got the question, how long should we keep trying to share someone who does not respond? From what I've learned, I think it's good to focus the majority of your time on people that are interested. But what I would say is keep yourself available for those like your neighbours who might not be initially interested, but keep inviting them into your life as well. So have the majority of your focus on people that want to go further and deeper into their relationship with Jesus or know more, but still keep in touch with those other people and be available for maybe, it could be 20, 30 years down the line, they are ready to talk to you about Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah. Final comments, Howard?
Yeah, I just think the harvest is ready, but the reapers are few. You know, there's a massive harvest out there, isn't there?
That's a great point to end on. Yeah. Josh, do you want to pray and then we'll sing again?
Yeah, Father God, Lord, I thank you actually, Lord, that there is a big harvest out there, Lord, that there is a big job for us all to do. And Lord, none of us are perfect. None of us know how to evangelize very well. But Lord, I pray that you'll just give us the one thing to do, Lord. You'll give us the stepping stone into the right direction. And Lord, I pray that we'll find time to intentionally invest into the lives of others. But Father, I also pray that you'll reveal to us who we should share Jesus with, and you'll give us a real clarity into that as well. Lord, help us on this journey to keep just trying, Lord. It might be not natural to a lot of us, but Lord, help us just to keep trying and to keep learning in your precious name. Amen. I just want to pick up on two very quick comments. I know we're running out of time, but Jane Dean said, there is always something that we can do. A phone call, write a letter, send a card, help a neighbour, do some shopping, a walk in the park. These things are easy. We can all do something. And Enid Drew said, when the UK Baptist Union decided to do the door-to-door in 1978, we all went out in pairs, as Jesus sent his disciples in pairs. Whilst those who didn't want to go supported us in prayer back at the church. And I think that's brilliant, because there's always a point where sometimes we're not confident, but we can learn to grow in confidence. So do something that is outside of your comfort zone, but be challenged today. It doesn't have to be a burden, sharing the message. Father God, as we go away today and we worship and we do our last song, Lord Jesus, Lord, help us to have a focus on mission and where you would like us to serve, in your precious name. Amen.